hot and I could stand near the beach, so it was good to recharge the battery, let's say.
Good to hear. And how it is now, like the weather is milder, not that cold, not that.
Today around here we have like a polar wind. We have like this wind that is quite cold, but the sun is shining, so during the day it is a good weather. And at night is quite cold, but you can light a fire and read something, so it is good. It is all good around.
Good to hear from you. And Cindy, good morning. Good to see you here. You can unmute and speak if you wish. And you can ask any question that you wish for or share something that you've read or experience that you had. Yes, Fernando.
I have a question, Iti. I was thinking after our last session on Saturday, I was thinking about different realms of the soul, you know, like that scheme that the Kabbalist puts on, like that you have the goop, nefesh, neshama, haya, yehida, and so on. And I was thinking that in this non-dual perspective, maybe we are looking at things as Yehida, as unity.
Yes.
And but we have like different realms at the same time. We have different bodies. We have Neshama and we have Nefesh, Ruach. The good thing is when we can bring all to unity, you know, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, all in unity from this perspective of Yehida. But sometimes we are focused in different levels, you know, so it's difficult when we have like something happening at the level of the body, mind, or the Ruach or the Neshama, and we are like not seeing the unity, you know, not connected with Yehida. Say, I would say that this is just a way to put things, but I would like to listen from you. What do you think about this? How could you connect these different bodies from this non-dual perspective?
There are stages. Thank you for the question. There are stages. So I also slid into it. I didn't know. We were speaking about it 2 days ago. Slid. We started it podcast about Hebrew letters, about I truth. This was one of the first videos, blue videos that we did about truth. And what does it mean, truth? It means non-dual, not two. So there are many levels or many doors that you can enter, or windows that you can enter the palace of the soul. Yeah. And now when I'm looking at your question from now, so I can see that there was another door, like the Kabbalist, yes, used to open this door through the five gates, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. Those are levels, yes. But there is no contradiction, Fernando. There is no contradiction. Do you understand or not so much?
I think that I understand. But What I was thinking it is that, no, sometimes you have different experiences, and it's not, it's certainly not for me, especially. I cannot be always the level of Yehida. Sometimes you are the struggle of life, or you have a pain in your feet or something, you know?
Yes.
And so on and so forth. So I think that the idea that from what I am learning right now is that the more time that you stayed in unity, in Yehida, in this non-dual perspective, or just trying to connect with it, more it takes the space, let's say, more it comes alive, you know.
Yes.
I don't know if it makes sense what I am saying, but
yes. If I understood well, let's say someone experienced pain, yes, or something happens and the things in life. So once there is identification, yes, between it, I have the pain, or I feel it's painful for me. Yeah? So there is a pain, and the pain belongs to me, or I have the pain, and then we have two. We have me and the one who has the pain, so there is two. So you say, or you ask, like, it's a very, how do you say, I understand the question from this perspective. If someone has a pain and he feels the pain, his body, what it. So how can we forget about the pain? And so it's not you that feels the pain. Do you understand? Or not?
Yes, it is. It is difficult because it's not you, but at the same time is. It's a part of your experience, you know, it is.
Yes.
You are feeling the pain, you need to, I don't know, go to the dentist or go to somewhere.
Yes.
You need to.
Yes,
to
take
it.
Care. Yes, to take care of it. Yes, that it will not develop or something, or just to take care of it. Yes, there is a pain, but the pain is not. It is felt. How would you define a pain? Regardless of this, it's not pleasant, or it's itchy, or it's it never let you breathe even quietly. The pain appears when? The pain appears in space and time. It's part of the manifestation. Of course, if there's a pain, let's say tooth pain or any other pain, to take care of it, of course. But it is part of the manifestation. We see a fruit on the tree. Now this is Shavuot. One of the symbols of Shavuot is the first fruit, Bikurim. Bikurim, Bechor, is the first born. So this is the first fruit. And this is Shavuot. Apart, there are many symbols for Shavuot. One of them is the first fruit. The first fruit appears also fruits. They appear in space and time. This is part of the manifestation, also pain. But you don't deal obsessively with the pain. This is not your definition, and this is not identity. From time to time, there's inconveniences and pain to everyone, to animals as well. Yes, but and the pain is not pleasant. Once I had to go for operation, we a couple of years ago, I just something that started like a dental treatment. The doctor, we went to a professor. His profession was this wisdom tooth thing, and he was trying. It was a complicated thing. Good morning, Rodrigo, and good afternoon, Abigail. So, since he already had seen in the, he made a photo, like to see what is going on inside before he enters. He saw it's a complicated issue. And he was trying to operate it in his clinic. Yes, it's not of belonging. Pain is not of, this is interesting thing. And he was sure that he can operate, though it was complicated on a picture. How do you call it? This thing that you go to the dentist and they make this photo x-ray, yes? So it looked complicated, but since he was a professor and we got his name as his, this is his field, is also the head of the Rambam. Rambam is the greatest hospital in Haifa. It's just, how do you say, domains of, it has dominion in terms of medicine all over the north of Israel. So he was the greatest name of all. And he also has a clinic at his place. So we went to the clinic, it was evening. And he was trying to access, to make an operation at his clinic. And he thought that he could, because he professional, yeah? Professional professor, he's a head of too many titles, a lot of responsibilities and so. He was trying to operate and it got complicated. Very, very complicated. And he was in the clinic in the evening. I was a patient and there was a helper, maybe not all of the time, but it got complicated. And the evening set, it's also dark and he got the creeps. I felt that he's getting the creeps. And he said, you know what? Tomorrow I'm operating in Rambam. Come to the hospital, and people usually to get an appointment in the hospital, you have to register, let's say, months before. You don't get just like that. But since he was the head of this unit, and he was operating the next morning in the hospital, he says, come at 8 o'clock and I will enter, I will slide you into the line. And we shall go and make I will bring more doctors. And we shall discuss the case and operate together. We need like multiple doctors operation on this thing. We came, as we were asked, at about 8 to Rambam Hospital. We entered the squad. We just saw the corridor. People were waiting. Like if it was Calcutta, train station, not hospital, not seats, nothing, water canteens, just what? I just saw the corridor. I said to myself, what is it? How are we going to enter even to this office or to this surgery room? And he said to come at 8. What's going on here? It's not a train station in India. I said, this is it. I was willing to quit with what there is and just to leave. And we went to the office and he saw us and he entered me to the whatever it was. There was a discussion with his the rest of the doctors. He was a professor. He discussed the topic. There was like concealment, the concilium, like what to do. And they decided what to do, and he put anesthesia that he could operate. He put anesthesia more and more and more, and I'm alive, I'm not asleep. Whatever he put, whatever he shovel inside, nothing helps, I'm awake. And he cuts into the flesh, and he cuts, and he cuts, and I'm feeling, and I'm jumping on the chair, la la la, hallelujah. And whatever anesthesia he puts, more injection, and I'm not dead. Very responsive application. He was not happy, but he said to be sure that it will not bother me, he cut and cut and cut, I don't know, part of the gums, part of, I don't know, bones, I don't know what he did there. And we were off, and we had to rest. How do you say, to get, there's a special room that you have to rest after the open operation. A few hours to see if you're right, to follow up, and then they sent you home. And this was just the concert, or the opera just began when we came home, because slowly the anesthesis, the liters, I don't know what he put there, started fading out, and I was... then the pain just started. The orchestra started, and I didn't know what to do. It was pumping pain, and it's in the gums, and so it just does not even circle through the body, just into the brain. And it was so, and I tried to take like, how do you say, a little, against pain, painkiller, but I had really baby portion of like baby thing. Later I was told that this is not something serious to kill the pain. We were just here new in the place. We did not know what to do. And I did not think that there is even an option to take something greater, and I just suffered. I could not do anything. I just drink water with a straw, or just a bit of something like liquid with milk or so for 2 weeks or so. This was not a problem, not eating and not drinking, but just the pain was begging in the head for 2 weeks. And since we were new here and was under like all kinds of conditions, yes, I didn't know that you can turn to someone and ask for help, or even to consult someone to go out of your system, so because you have certain kind of a perception about things. You might be wrong, and somebody else can open a door in your head and say, hey, you can try this, and that, just to relieve the pain, which is just accumulating inside, because we were new and not everything was open to us, let's say. So about after 2 weeks, I was just all the time with pain, all the time, days and night. I just could not. It never stopped me. It never stopped the pain. Until one day, I didn't know what to do. I took a bed sheet or a blanket and I rolled myself. Since you asked about the pain, that I didn't know what to do. We had no friends or here at all. I took a blanket, rolled myself like I'm a cigarette, like tobacco in a cigarette, and I just roll on the floor with the body like that. And through the roll, the head just got relief. And later, we were speaking to Andre's parents, and his mother said, hey, but what you were taking as a, how do you say, as a painkiller, this is like baby's medicine. It's not really in proportion to the pain that you are having after operation, such a deep operation. And it is a mess, because we went to the doctor and he tried to check it, and I could not open the mouth for check, so he noticed that I've crossed through a trauma, and I cannot open my mouth. Just, it's the jaws, they were closed like that. But he has to open it to check. But the mouth, from pain, after the procedure, just closed. Only a straw, and this is it. There's nothing opens. And we went to his clinic again afternoon, and his wife was a secretary and a helper. And he says, listen, you have gone through trauma. And now what I have to do is I have to open your mouth by power, by force, And it's not nice, he said. It's not nice, he said. It's not convenient. And he was trying to open it, put pressure on it. Of course I yelled. And he was trying, and I yelled more. And he was trying harder, and I yelled more. And his wife was terrified. She put her palms on her ears, and she ran off the clinic. She left the clinic, and she ran to the street outside in the garden not to hear me shouting. And you look, there's something in this procedure that is for about 2 weeks. And there's a pain. It's not convenient. It's never stopped. But there's something higher than this. Yes? Do you understand? You remember every moment of, I remember every moment of these 2 weeks, starting at his office at night, his inability to operate, his admitting his failure, starting again in the morning in the hospital, very long operation. No one tells you that you are in this condition, that you, and he is the head, and he is a very high rank professor. When you mention his name, everybody is scared because he's the head of the da-da-da-da-da-da. He was so, he himself, when he was taking care of me, he was telling me he reads a story, he reads a book of history about the Roman legion, how they killed 6 million Hebrews in the time of Jesus while he was operating. The thing is, you remember every moment of it, but not as a body. Do you understand? Now when we speak about it, I can tell you every moment what happened in those 2 weeks, every picture. But the pain is gone. Do you understand? There's something higher. The nerve system, the nervous system, it feels the pain and it bangs in you. And you ask yourself, what am I am doomed to suffer, not even to suffer it, just what to do with it, how to hold it. The greatest joke of all, listen to it, leave the doctor and his wife aside, yes? In this, it was about this time of the year, June, July, and this is the season of weddings. One of the, let's say, people of the family, he was having a wedding, and we got an invitation. Of course, I could not go, and I didn't want to tell them that I'm after this procedure because it's their happiness. Couple of months after this, we meet this couple, this new couple, and he says with a finger, "You did not come to my wedding. How dare you, little creature, not appear in my beautiful wedding? How dare you not appear in my wedding, Mr. Whatever, Prince of the Universe?" Jessica, story time. Yes. So the pain is gone. And now there's like we share this story. So you ask yourself, this is also an open question to everyone. What was feeling the pain for 2 weeks? What was dealing with this? What happens to me? People say, did you hear what happens to me? Whatever is happening is not to this infinite. Yes, something is happening to John, Peter, Paul, Mary, this in the office, this clinic, dentist, da, da, da. It exists in a way in different levels. If the soul was not nourishing or giving us every moment breath, air, we would not be able, it's not we, but the body could not feel the pain. Do you understand? That body, do you understand this or not?
Yes.
But the fact that there is a feeling of pain does not say that dead. Do you understand? The pain is something temporal. Not from the perspective of the soul. Like you mentioned before, there are layers. It's a nefesh thing, yes? It's in different levels. Because if you notice, even when we experience pain, we can still speak.
Yes.
But we have this narration inside it. It happened to me. It happened to me. It happens. But this is not what defines us. It can happen to anyone. There's like different complications in many fields that we did not initiate, we did not resume. It just happens. It's not because there's, let's say, sin, and it's not like this. It just happens. It's not pleasant. It's not nice. We become short in terms of, how do you say? We don't have enough patience because it takes a lot of nerves to observe the pain for a long time. Let's say, if someone is in prison for any kind of reason, like take Joseph's story, he was many, many years in prison, different prisons. And he had conversations in many ways with many people in prison. It is easy for me to speak about Joseph. I don't want to go to details because I don't think that details are necessary. The fact that he was in different prisons with different people in different time never decreased the level of conversation or the connection he was in. And this is the interesting fact, that the brain, when we feel pain, it has to do with the nerves and everything is connected. The brain tells us we are lesser. We are less competent. We are lesser human beings because we are suffering. Do you understand? Not from the perspective of the soul. The brain will say we are lesser, what we have done wrong. Otherwise, we would not appear in this situation. You could take a care of it before, but this is how it comes. Let's say in this case, it just, the brain interferes and in makes an interpretation. From the soul level, there is no problem whatsoever. You ask about nefesh ruach. From the soul level, there is no problem, but the brain, what the brain does, when you see a movie, let's say everybody here speak English, but if let's say if we were watching all of us now, let's say movie in Japanese, many people do not speak fluent Japanese. Maybe we learn a few words to be able to see Kurosawa, let's say movie. We need what? Subtitles. Otherwise, yes, we will not be able to understand. So the brain, what does it do? This is a very good example. The brain subtitles everything. Subtitle everything. This is what it does. It offers you an undercurrent story. It offers you a second seat. The brain always comes with a solution of a cheap seat. You're underdog, you're underhuman, you got yourself into trouble, you have a shitty life, how did you find yourself in this office? How did you, it doesn't matter who is now, like, to whom, let's say, life is happening, it just will be the same narration, with the same subtitles. It happens to everyone. You take one detail, yes, and there's, I have trouble, the trouble has me. It doesn't matter now that the sun is shining, or let's say there's like beautiful season outside and the birds are singing. No, I have the pain, and the pain is bigger than the ability of the bird to sing, yes. Both are coming from the same source. The bird is singing, the flower are blooming, and someone has a pain. They are not coming from different sources. This is non-duality, What operates what streams through the bird to tweet or to sing now, it's not different source that which we feel pain. Yes. 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 We don't know the way. We always tend to believe that our eyes, yes, are seeing everything. But the truth is that we are like Isaac. Yes, that we are capable, let's say, of seeing objects, trees, bird, bee, butterfly, and we can navigate, but we don't see. We are blind because our ability to see is just particles. We always see parts. We cannot see the whole thing. Yes, Cindy.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Cindy.
Just to sort of relate to what you're saying about we don't see the whole picture. I'm diverting a little bit, but it reminds me of so when I was walking the other day and I passed the first little group of flowers, there were 10 of them. And thank y'all again for playing. That was fun. Good job, Fernando and Jill. You got it. So I passed it, and then I walked back, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get a picture of that and then see if I can build, you know, the tetragrammaton on the walk. And so I had gotten most, all that I needed, except I just needed one more. I needed to find Sitz, the Vog. And so I went off the I went off the sidewalk a little bit and was finding some different ones. And I reached, it was by a creek or a stream, and I reached down at this kind of bush to kind of move something to see what I could count of the flowers that were there. And all of a sudden, something rattled and hissed, and the bush moved, and I jumped back, but not because I knew what it was, just something inside of me jumped back before I could mentally know. And then it slithered down into the creek, and I saw that it was a rattlesnake, and I've never encountered one out in, you know, like that before. I've never seen one or been that close. And then it got me to, well, I'm thinking about right now when you say you don't see everything. Yeah, we definitely don't see everything, even when we theoretically could. But I saw a flower or a flowering plant. But there was a snake in the bush who, yeah, revealed itself. But then it got me to thinking about, I looked up the word for bush, you know, in Hebrew, and I think it's siah or siach. Mm-hmm. But that, interestingly, the bush that Moses encountered, the burning bush, is not, but that bush can mean also conversation. I thought that was interesting, but that Moses, that bush was called like Sneh or something. And yeah. I wondered if maybe you could talk about why that bush is a different word than the other bush, if I'm even correct on this. I just read this. But yeah, I thought this could tie in sort of to what we were talking about.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing. And you're all right. It's good to hear. Thank you for sharing. There is the burning bush, yes. The name of the burning bush in Hebrew is Sneh, yes. And the burning bush is the conversation inside, yes. But what is your question, Cindy?
I think that what's the difference between, is there a word siach for bush? And then,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. There is a word siach for a bush. Yes. Yes. And but so, siach, it means also conversation. It means both a bush. Yes. Yes. So it means both a bush, siach, but also it means a conversation.
Yeah, it kind of, that the bush that I was going to keep building the name, looking for the name, and then there was a snake there too. It just reminded me so much of how...
For the six, was it?
Yes.
For the six, yes. The snake is the six, yes? Yes. The 6 days of the week, the time.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah. And the dice. There is a beautiful teaching, or there's a little story in the Talmud, in the Babylonian Talmud, that warns people who plays the dice. Some people see it in coffee houses or this is the Babylonian Talmudic teachings, but people who gamble, because it's like betting. Yes, it's like you bet on this or that. This is duality. Yes, the six, and they, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're saying that also the serpent, when did he meet Eve? Which day of the week did he meet Eve? Now, according to your experience, which day? You have not read the Midrash, yes? But since you experienced this, in which day? Yes, the sixth day he met Eve. Yes. Very well. You see, this is how you write Midrash. This is how the sages are writing Midrashim, from experience. This is why it's so truth. And the truth is hidden in the Midrashim. It's hidden. Hidden. Yes. You remind me of a story about snakes that happened to us in the army. Yes, Deborah is here. Good to see you, Deborah. You can speak. Yeah. You remind me of a story. We were soldiers in the Golan Heights. And in the Golan Heights in the summer, it's so hot, it can arrive to 45 degrees Celsius. It's more than 100 Fahrenheit, much more. And this is in the shade, yes? We were in the sun. We were asked to remove like boulders, like from, how do you say, basalt? You know what basalt is? This rocks that they, after volcano, they got cold. There's like volcanoes activity, and then after they, yes, after the volcano activity, or there's cold air comes on the volcano, the stones or the lava is getting cold, and then there's like black stones. They call it basalt. I don't know how to say this in other languages. Basalt, like black stones that used to be once volcano and they got cold. So we were asked to remove those rocks, boulders, and then to prepare the field for cultivation, to put our trees. And we were like few people with bare hands trying to pull one of the rocks. Yes, to prepare the field, because if you want to plant trees, it has to be to take the rocks and the stones to prepare the cultivation. And it was a very hot day, so few people just with bare hands just moved the rock, the black rock. Guess what happens? Everybody can unmute and speak. Guess what happened? When we were trying to move a black rock boulder in 445 Celsius degree. How many, Fernando? How many came? Four, each one 3 or 4 meters. Four came at the same time. Yeah, four. So there was like guys and there was me. I don't know how many guys were there, but we were like five or so. And all four guys just ran from fear until the end of the field. And I just stood there, looked at the snakes and did not move. Until today, I don't know what happened. What caused them to run and what caused me to stay? And this is non-duality. What caused them to run and those snakes in the Golan Heights they're very dangerous. They can kill someone like without, you know, four. Yeah, so they just ran. I just saw them running. I didn't understand why. And I just sat there looking at this thing. Until now, I don't know. And nothing happened. No, nobody was beaten. Not them and not me. And just thought, what? Really? Because the rock is cold. Yes, and it was so hot, so they were taking a refuge under the rock. And we bothered them. We just bothered them. They were chilling, you see? And we bothered them. We wanted to put an orchard there. Snakes, life. Is our spinal cord? Did you see once an X-ray of human body skeleton? There's a skull and there's a skeleton. How does it look like without the flesh? It doesn't look like a Shalom Deborah. It doesn't look like a snake, doesn't it? So, is there a snake outside of us or inside of us? It's just a question. Questions. Rodrigo, Deborah, Jill, Abigail, Fernando, Cindy, questions? And you innocently, Cindy, went to just bring a picture for the riddle and you found a lore or midrash.
Katie?
Yes.
Just to bring some ideas to stitch all the ideas, maybe, or some mm-hmm. of them. Because I was asking about these different bodies, and I mm-hmm. was thinking that when we do not feed our material body, you know, we suffer a lot. He wins easily. But what happens when we do not nourish the other bodies? Always one, I know, but let's say you said, well, sometimes we are suffering, but we still can talk. And of course, the talk is related to Ruach. The Ruach, this classification is just a classification, but
mm-hmm.
but it enlightens us a little bit. But sometimes we can only talk about, you know, soccer, politics, war, about others. And so we are not nourishing our ruach. And this is almost the most visible part. And I'm wondering here that sometimes we do not nourish our Yehida or Haya, that when we do not see that everything is one, or when we do not think about, or not only think, but when we do not relate with it, you know. So I was just wondering about the importance of nourishing this aspect of this most important aspect of us is this, like Cindy yes. shared this puzzle was
yes.
quite nice to stay thinking about this, but you can see that Cindy was walking to a through the bushes and through the flowers and was looking to symbols, not the material aspect, but the hidden aspect of reality, you know. This is already a nourishing for the soul, not for only for Cindy's souls, but our as well, because we enter in the game. And so this is a kind of nourishing the soul.
It's and very
other aspects. So if you could say something, thank you.
Yes, thank you. The more we come together, the sense of community, of people sharing the same space, this is more close to the truth, to Yechida. When people have like single life or in private life, this is very far. Everybody's like little mouse in his hole, in his story with his cheese, you know. But when people come together, you see there's like a greater space than all of us together. And this is the truth. Therefore, this is so important to have those conversations. To be in those conversations, not to have, but to be in those conversations, just coming on time, and this is it. Yes. Thank you, Cindy. So you see, Fernando, you bring a question or you raise a topic, and Cindy as well, and here, and parallel stories or experience are popping, and people write comments, Rodrigo, Jill. So everyone is participating in this space, so there is no divided space. There is no, this is my space, this is your space. No, there's like general space of the soul. There is no distribution. In bodies or through the eyes, we see divided reality or distributed reality. But in a space of conversation, there's only one. Or you can say not two, even so to speak, the conversation streams from different, let's say, perspective, it's one. Yes? I'm so happy that you brought this topic, Fernando and Cindy. Thank you for sharing the story about the snake, and we're happy that you're fine and nothing happened to you. But this is how Midrashim and laws and legend are being written from experience. From experience. This is why people are reading them for so many years. For thousands of years, people are speaking or reading those laws because they're anchored in reality. So thank you everyone for sharing with us this space today. Shavuot Sameach, happy season to all, and good recovery and health. Good health to everyone. With every breath there's health. With every breath there's health. Yes? Thank you so much, and I wish you all good. See you soon. Toda and shalom, and Cindy and Jill, if you want to meet here on Apple Tree or whenever you like, you would like to discuss open channel, podcast, conversation channel. Yes, Deborah, Abigail, Fernando, everybody's invited. Rodrigo, just write and see how we can come together. Thank you to Dain Shalom.